love that came for us. Humble to the sinner's cross, you broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again victorious. Faithfulness none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free, Jesus Christ who lives in me. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me, it is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. No beginning and no end, you're my hope and my defense. You came to see and save the lost, you paid it all upon the cross. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me, it is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me, it is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me, it is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all.
Brothers and sisters, will you join me in our call to worship that can be found in your bulletins? We gather in this place, some empty, some filled, some whole and some broken.
Yearning for the Holy Spirit to fill us.
We come with these ordinary people who have shown us the way.
Trusting that God will continue to illuminate our hearts.
We surround the table of grace so we might be fed by the bread of life. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness, you rose again victorious. Faithfulness none can deny, through the storm and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free, Jesus Christ who lives in me. are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. Came to seek and save the lost. You paid it all upon the cross. You are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me. It is risen, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. Making my declaration, I'm shouting it to every nation. I bless the God of my salvation. He's worthy, worthy. The God I serve is great and mighty. He is for me, who can be against me? I praise him with the song of victory. He's worthy, worthy. I will bless and glorify his name. No other name is worthy to be praised. He's worthy, he's worthy, he is worthy. Bless his name. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy. Bless his name. I'm making my declaration. I'm shouting it to every nation. I bless the God of my salvation. He's worthy, worthy. The God I serve is great and mighty. He is for me, who can be against me? I praise him with the song of victory. He's worthy, worthy. I will bless and glorify his name. No other name is bless his name. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy. Bless his name. Let the nations rise and worship he who sits upon the throne. He is worthy of the glory, he and he alone. Let the nations rise and worship he who sits upon the throne. He is worthy of the glory, he and he alone. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy. Bless his name. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy. Bless his name. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy. Bless his name. He's worthy.
And brothers and sisters, we claim that God is worthy of worship, of offering to him praise because of who God is, because of who, of what God has done in our lives. Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, we cry out to you, we call out to you, giving thanks and praise for who you are. Oh God, that your joy might move within our hearts, even though at times we might not feel joyful. Oh God, help us to see the grace and the love that you have given to us, and for that we thank you. And we pray all this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, one of the reasons that I think God is worthy to be praised is because he has blessed us with each other. He has sent us his grace and love this day, and so that we might know it tangibly in our relationships and in our interactions with each other. In our sharing and passing of grace and peace, may we know the grace and peace of God. So will you take a moment now and share that with each other? All of our children now for a children's message from our preschool director, Mrs. Jennifer Landrieu. Yep.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Good. Have you all heard the word Lent from some of your Sunday school teachers, maybe? Or maybe your moms, or Pastor Mark, or Pastor Todd? The word Lent, have you heard that? Anthony's heard it. Anybody else? Oh, you have. Oh, we're doing a good job. You remember that word. Good job. Now, Lent is the 40 days leading up to Palm Sunday and Holy Week and Easter then. And you know, the word Lent comes from a different word, and I'm not sure if I'll say it right because I'm not very good at accents in different languages, but lente, L-E-N-T is Lent, L-E-N-T-E at the end, that's lente, perhaps. I looked it up and it said that it was from Holland, so it might be Dutch like our church, so I'm thinking that it's pretty good. So lente would mean It's great. It means springtime. So I looked outside today on my way to church, and you know what I saw outside? I saw signs of spring. Did you see signs of spring outside? You did. What did you see? Michelle saw flowers in her garden. Anybody else see signs of spring? Anthony?
Our garden is growing.
Anthony's garden is growing. How about you?
Buds on the tree.
So it's springtime, right? So during springtime, I like to do a bunch of different things. And you know what? Springtime, because Lent means springtime, I do some of the same things in springtime that I would do during Lent. So I thought I'd maybe share some of them with you. Now, tell me if you did this at your house. During Lent, I like to open things up, like my windows. Has anybody opened up their windows? And you let the fresh spring air fill your house? Well, during Lent, I like to open up something too. Do you know what I have in my hand?
Bible.
The Bible. I like to open up the Bible because you know what I do when I read God's word? It fills up my heart with God's words. So we open our windows to let the fresh air in, and we open up our Bibles to let God's word into our heart. So that's pretty neat. Those are the same things that we can do in Lent. The next thing that I do is that I like to clear out. How many of you have mommies at home clearing out your winter coats and your winter hats and your mittens and your boots that you really didn't use very much this year? Are they clearing out your closets, making room for stuff? This is one of the things that's going down into our basement because we didn't even really use it very much this year, right? So we're going to clean out our closets and clean out the clutter that we have at our homes. But you know what? We can do that during Lent too. So we have to think about during Lent all the things that maybe we made a mess of, maybe where we made a mistake, maybe where we have to make an apology to somebody, and maybe where we have to ask God for forgiveness. Because inside us, we know that there's something in there maybe, and then we just need to ask for forgiveness or apologize to somebody. Now the next thing that we have to do in my house during springtime, and maybe you're doing this at your house too, I brought something big behind me. Do you know what this is? A broom. What do you think I do in my house with this? I sweep. Good job. I sweep things out. And you know what? In my house, well, we're pretty good. We vacuum a lot. But sometimes underneath the furniture and in the corners of things, there's dust back there. And I know it's there. But some people that come to my house, they might not know it's there. But I know it's there. So during springtime, when I open up my windows and I let that fresh air in, I get my broom out and I start to sweep things out of the corners and from behind the furniture to make sure it's really, really clean. Well, in Lent, we can do the same thing too. Because in Lent, sometimes there are some things inside of us that we want to clean out too, right? If we had some bad thoughts about somebody, we can say, maybe I'll think nicer thoughts about that person. Or maybe what we can do is if we haven't been very nice to somebody at school, we can go to school and make them our friend and use nice words when we're talking to them. We could do that, right? Now, the last thing is my favorite thing on my list. In springtime, I like to plant. Do you plant at your house? You do? I heard some of you have gardens and plants and flowers. Well, my favorite... You're right, Eden. Eden's daddy has her plants inside the house so the bugs don't eat them in the garden. That's really smart. And, you know, maybe I should do that, too. Most of my plants are going to be outside. They get eaten by the deer. Did they do that at your house? They do it at my house. But you know what I do? I water my seeds that I plant in my pots, and then I have to wait really patiently. Sometimes it takes a long time for those little plants to sprout up, and it takes even longer for the flowers to come out. But you know what? If you wait and you're patient, something really beautiful comes of that, doesn't it? So you know what we can do? During Lent, we can plant seeds too. We can plant different kinds of seeds, though. We're going to try to plant seeds of happiness and love. Do you think you could try to do that? Because every time that you're nice to somebody, or you help somebody, or you do something really special to help them out, you know what? That's planting a seed of happiness. And you know what? In that person, it's going to become something very, very beautiful. Can you say a prayer with me? Dear Jesus, we love you. Help us open our Bibles, clear out our clutter, sweep up our messes, and plant seeds of love. Amen. You can go to Sunday school.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.
You may be seated. While you're doing so, I'll ask you to grab your blue connection cards that were in your bulletins this morning and ask if you're a member, regular attender here, if you just put your name on there briefly and check and fill in whatever boxes, we might not have the information for you. If you're a visitor here with us, we're blessed to have you with us. If you bring this card with you into Fellowship Hall, following service, we'll have a special gift for you. On the back side of that card, if you're interested in receiving any information about many of the different ministries that are ongoing here at NBRC, please feel free to check those boxes. The top box on the back we'll get to a little bit later, but then down at the bottom, as I've kind of described it, this is kind of your cheat sheet for the bulletin. So there are half a dozen different things listed here, from the discovery class to the Saturday morning bagels and beliefs class, to volunteering for the craft fair, to volunteering for VBS, to signing up for the God's Phoenix Women's Project, and to the Seder meal. Bunch of different things listed there, some of which you might go, huh? If you're doing that, you can see that there are page numbers listed for just about all of those things in your bulletin that you can look for further details there. And Jane Yarnell is going to make an announcement about the Easter flowers for us. Do you want to stand out this way so people can see you?
Okay. On page 5 of your bulletin, the Easter flowers for the sanctuary. Flowers provide seasonal beauty to the decoration of the sanctuary during the Easter season. If you'd like to contribute to this week's decorations, the pink little flyer that's in the back and in the front, please sign up and turn into the office as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. And as we prepare to meet God in the Word this morning, will you join me in prayer? Oh God, we give you thanks and praise for who you are. We thank you for your great love for us. As we gather in this place now and in the busyness of our lives, help us to find the stillness in our hearts, that we might find you in your word today as we hear it read and preached, knowing that it is you and your spirit that enlivens us to live and to serve faithfully. Help us, O God, as we prepare for that now. And we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen.
Good morning. This morning's reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and can be found on page 884 of your Pew Bible. In the first book, Theophilus, it wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from him from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After this suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convicting proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
But you will receive power. Sounds pretty good, yeah? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Verse 8 of this reading that we just heard from the start of the book of Acts. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. This is Jesus' message to his disciples who are gathered here in Jerusalem after this time that he has spent with them, after this 40 days following the resurrection. Just imagine the awe, the experience of these disciples. Put yourselves in their place. This man that you had followed around during his ministry, learning, hearing and seeing the profoundness of his teachings, hearing and seeing the amazing things that he had done, and then to see him go up on that cross, and thinking this man was to be your Messiah, the one who was to be raised up in power and rule, right, and authority, this people of Israel. And instead, he dies and goes to the cross. And you find yourself hurrying, scared, fleeing away. Well, if that's what they did to him, what will they do to us who are his followers? Enter into this story in this Lenten season as we proceed to the cross, as we hear of Jesus' journey, that certainly 3 days later we have that promise of hope, that promise of new life in springtime, as Jen shared with our children this morning. 3 days later, that Jesus rises again. And he walks with his friends. And he says, put your hand in my hand. Feel the nail holes. Put your hand in my side. And see that I am risen. Come, have a meal with me. And know that it is true. And for 40 days, Jesus walked with these friends of his. Can you imagine this experience going from the low of lows of Jesus being crucified to now this incredible, amazing experience of walking and talking and eating with the risen Jesus? And during these 40 days, now Jesus says, it's time that I must go away. But hang out here in Jerusalem for a little bit longer, because I have something great in store for you. As we've been going through this book, Simply Christian, by N.T. Wright, during this Lenten season, Wright helps us to think on what are the ways in which we encounter God today? And then, who is that God? If you've been here with us, especially last week, Todd preached on this Jesus, especially, and the significance of his name and who Jesus is, and how we believe in this triune God, revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we hear of the Creator Father God. We hear of Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, as we say in the Apostles' Creed week after week, right? And then that next section to that Apostles' Creed is we believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who, as we hear, promised by Jesus to his disciples at the beginning of Acts here, chapter 1, and then moving into chapter 2, the actual encounter of the Spirit. Again, put yourself in that place. The sound of a mighty rushing wind. Tongues of fire appearing. And then, all of these voices, speaking aloud in different languages, but yet each one of us hearing it in our own native tongue and understanding. Wow. That is the story of the sending of the Spirit. But as Wright talks about with us, even more so to that, why were all of these Jewish Christians here, even in Jerusalem, to begin with. That's a part of the story. These Jewish Christians who are there for one of the three pilgrim feasts of the year where they travel to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of Shavuot in the Hebrew, to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, the giving of the wheat harvest, and even more importantly, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai to Moses. This is what these people are gathered in Jerusalem for. The giving of the law. What was the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law, to give us instruction in how we are to live as the people of God. As Wright talks about it, it's wisdom and help for you and for me. As we heard in the children's message a little bit here. For those times and those places when we are in relationship with each other and, oh God, help me when I have an argument with my friend. Oh God, help me when I wrong my brother or my sister. That's what these Jewish Christians were in Jerusalem for, was to celebrate the giving of this law. And now, what happened? Something even greater, something even bigger, or equally as great at least. The Holy Spirit descends down. And we hear that as Jeremiah prophesies in chapter 31, that no longer will the law be written on tablets of stone, but now the words will be written on our hearts. Of how we are to live with one another. How we are to be a blessing to the world in which we live. That's the call. That's the promise of the coming of the Spirit. An awesome event. An awesome time when all of the Jewish Christians were gathered in Jerusalem. And to know that Pentecost didn't start when the Spirit came, but Pentecost started when the law was given to the people of Israel. I think we often miss that in hearing this way of life, this way that God has created us to be and to live. So where does that leave us? We hear this incredible story, right? Of the amazing things that God has been doing through His people of Israel. And now as we read in the book of Acts, the church as we come to know it more and more today. But what does that mean for us? Is this awesome presence of the Holy Spirit intended for us as well? In the same way that the law was sent to the Jewish people, equally, the Spirit is sent to us, within us. How do you know? How do you encounter the Spirit? Where is it that we see or that we find it? As I was working with our Pioneer Youth Group, our third through fifth graders, we've been going through the Apostles' Creed. And so we've done the Father and the Son. And we talked about the Spirit in these terms. Thinking, even as Wright kind of describes at the beginning of his chapter, if you've read it, he talks about the wind, the rushing wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see what it does. Listen to these. I have just thrown open the window on a glorious spring morning. A fresh breeze is stirring around the garden. In the distance, there is a crackle of bonfire as farmers clear away some winter rubbish. Near the path down to the sea, a skylark is hovering over its nest. All around, there is a sense of creation throwing off its wintry coverings and getting ready for an outburst of new life. That's the promise of the Spirit. The outburst of new life for each one of us. This is what God intends for us. And I think it's seen not by the leaves rustling in the trees so much, but I think in the work of you and of our church as the Spirit empowers us. For as Wright talks about these echoes of the voice, right? If you've been here and heard the series a little bit, you've heard about how all humans observe God in some way or another in our relationships, in the beauty of creation that surrounds us, in spirituality, and in justice. All of these inner longings point to that God. And I would suggest that most strongly we hear the echo of the voice of God through the church, through the experiences that we have and that we share together as the Spirit empowers us. As he writes it, for many, church is a place where you'll find people learning to pray, coming to faith, struggling with temptation, finding new purpose, and getting in touch with a new power to carry out that purpose. It's where people bring their own small faith and discover, in getting together with others to worship the one true God, that the whole becomes greater than the sum of its parts. So if you hear this call from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. We might hear that and say, whoa, hang on. Kind of intimidating, kind of challenging to be a witness. I mean, I know there are some people that are happy to go and stand on the street corner and shout the name of Jesus, right? But that's not me. But even us, as Wright says it there, even us who might feel of little faith, we as a church community serve and work and live and move together and witness in our own ways to this God. I'm going to draw a couple other quotes from right here. For it is the church where the homeless drop in for a bowl of soup and the elderly stop by for a chat. It's where one group is working to help drug addicts and another is campaigning for global justice. It is the church which, despite all of its follies and failings, and we know that there are many, is there when it counts, in hospitals, schools, prisons, and many other places. Are we that church? Are we that church that provides opportunities for the elderly, that help the homeless in transition, that provide a place for those dealing with addictions to come and to work through? Are we that church that is involved within the community that when we see a neighbor who has a need, we step up and we care and we provide? Are we that church that when the school needs a volunteer tutor, that we step up? Many different ways in which we can be witnesses, including the follow Jesus standing up on the street corner, but also many other ways. This is God's Spirit. This is the call of the Spirit for how God has created us to live and to be a blessing. The final line that I like in Wright's section on these two chapters is the line that talks about people, and it's a phrase maybe you've heard before, how we can be no earthly good because we are so heavenly focused. You heard that phrase before? no earthly good because we're so heavenly focused? Wright's argument is the only way we can be of any earthly good is if we are heavenly focused. If that we are in touch with this Spirit that guides and moves and works within us as individuals and as a community, so that we might love and so that we might serve, being the hope for this world that God so loves. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Brothers and sisters, we are witnesses together by the Spirit that moves and is at work within us. Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, whether we find ourselves this morning still working through this whole faith thing and not feeling very capable of being witnesses, to maybe feeling in a pretty decent spot with you this morning, God, whichever spot we are, help us to hear your voice. Help us to listen to your Spirit that is at work within this world, that is at work longing to be within us and our church. Help us to follow after you and to know your love that surpasses and your peace that surpasses all understanding. We pray all these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. We'll now give of our tithes and offerings. One of the ways that we as a church are a blessing to this community is through our giving, knowing that we have received from God. Help us that we might reach out to our world.
I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still. Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only
imagine. Seated.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall be witnesses, right? What day was yesterday? St. Patrick's birthday, right? And what is it that we know about St. Patrick? It's not just about wearing green, nor about drinking Guinness, is it? St. Patrick's Day is primarily about a young man who was kidnapped from Great Britain, taken up to Ireland. He escaped miraculously, and he had a vision. And his vision was that he should go back and be a witness in Ireland. And Ireland was converted. When we come to communion, we usually think, and let me just say that we are a Dutch Reformed church, yes, but we have a Celtic and Irish cross, right? And when we think about communion, we usually think about the regular old Protestant cross, right? Me and Jesus, am I right with Jesus? Am I right with other people? That's very important to think about every communion Sunday. But if you think of the Celtic cross, there's also that circle. That circle means Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but that circle also means that on the cross, Jesus reached out to everyone. So we're praying today, not just that you and I can have good communion with God and with each other, but that we can reach out and others who do not yet know Jesus can have communion. And here's how we're going to do that. You know that we have been praying about a church plant. And in the next weeks to come, Jared, who was our mission speaker in October, they're the senior sort of partner in this. They're doing all the human capital stuff, like giving a core group and coaching and all that, and we're helping with the financials. And in the next few weeks, a possible planter is going to be interviewed for a plant that we're looking to do in a near New Jersey suburb of Philadelphia. When you come up to have communion, you're going to receive the bread, you're going to receive the cup, and on your way back, there are bowls on either side that you can pick up a prayer sheet. And this is going to ask you, you can put this on your fridge, you can put this in your Bible, and we're asking you to pray because we because these things happen only by the power of the Holy Spirit and only through prayer. So would you take a prayer sheet on your way out of communion, and we're going to focus not just on our communion with God and our communion with each other, but that Celtic cross, that great circle where communion is also brings others in, where we are witnesses because we pray for God's great work of evangelism. So we invite you to do that when you come forward to communion.
And we continue together in the traditional prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord our God.
For it is holy and right to do so.
Holy and right it is for us to give thanks and praise to our loving God for all of the many great things that He is doing in our lives, and also to share with one another our concerns and share them to God, knowing that He hears and that He's at work and in relationship with us here and now. We give thanks for God's outpouring of love for Pam by the ladies of her Bible study to celebrate her birthday. We give thanks for a dog who died this week. We give thanks for about 30 of us from NBRC who attended a wonderful Casting Crowns concert on Friday night. Thankful for the love and friendship offered by members of this church. We're thankful for a son home from college for spring break. And we're thankful for the weather today. We also bring to God our concerns. We bring to God, we ask God for a safe journey for a daughter, Allison, returning to college from college, or returning to college today. We pray for the sick that God heals them. We pray for a friend's parents who are going through a divorce. We pray for a friend, John, as he awaits biopsy results. We pray for Vincent, who is fighting lung cancer, and for a nephew, Sean, who is unemployed and having difficulty finding a job. We pray for the healing of a husband's hand. We pray for great nephew, Lucas, who is in the hospital with cancer. He is just 8 months old and will start chemo soon. We pray for a co-worker's son, Mac, dealing with depression. We pray for a woman whose health, that she would feel God's love. We pray for the blessing of fertility. We pray for Jean Rosen having a brain tumor removed this week, prayers for successful surgery and healing. We pray for peace and comfort for Bob Michael on hospice. We pray for a miracle for Jim Skipper battling pancreatic cancer and prayers for strength, comfort, and healing. We pray for Charlotte, a 7-year-old girl recently diagnosed with brain cancer. We pray for God's comfort for Bev and Jean Van Ripper as they mourn the passing of Peter. And brothers and sisters, we combine all these thanksgivings and concerns with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray and that He prays with us today as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The night in which He was betrayed, not just for you and I, but for all the world, He took the bread. And after He'd given thanks, He broke it. And He gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat of it, remember me.
And in a similar way, He took the cup. And again, giving thanks and praise, said, This is my blood poured out, the new and living covenant that we know in the law and fulfilled in the giving of the Holy Spirit. Every time that you drink of this, remember me.
North Branch Reformed Church welcomes all baptized Christians who've confessed their faith in Jesus Christ to come to this, the Lord's table. We invite the balcony or musicians to come down first. You'll come forward again, you'll receive the bread and the cup, and on your way back, you'll see bowls on either side where you can pick up the prayer card. Come. For all things are now ready.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, we respond to receiving around the table. I'll let you just stay seated for this for a moment because we're going to invite our elders and deacons to come forward. But these words from Psalm 103. Now that the Lord has fed us at his table, let us praise God's holy name with heartfelt thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul. As it says in the bulletin, and I don't know, maybe was I really long-winded in my sermon today? We're supposed to be ordaining and installing our new elders and deacons. So I want to invite forward Karen Aguano is one of our new deacons. Patty Harmer, one of our new elders. Steve Coy, one of our new elders. And our other new deacon is John D'Elia. And anyone who has served on consistory previously, if you'd like to come forward and lay a hand on these all as we bless them for their service of 3 years, their witness following, we trust, the Holy Spirit's leading. And Linda, I think I'm kind of going to, if you guys can just maybe sing after I do the benediction, because I took way too much time, I guess. Thank you. Will you pray with me, please? God, we give you thanks for Karen and for Patty and for John and for Steve. For the call that your Spirit has brought to them personally and also for us as a church community as we sought out these new leaders for us in the different ministries that they will help us and guide us for in the coming years. We thank you, O God, for their faithfulness and their willingness to serve. We thank you, O God, for your faithfulness, that your Spirit will be with us as we continue to love you and serve you together. And we pray all these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. And while you're standing there, let's all take hands. Everybody else in the congregation, please stand for the benediction, and then if maybe Linda will just do some sort of closing as we go out, since I took too long.
It's okay.
We know that whoever we are and wherever we go in God's wide world, that Jesus goes with us, before us to prepare our path, behind us to encourage us, beside us to befriend us, above us to watch over us, beneath us in troubled times to carry us, and most importantly within us, to give us his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Nations rise and worship he who sits upon the throne. He is worthy of the glory, he and he alone. Let the nations rise and worship he who sits upon the throne. He is worthy of the glory, he and he alone. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy. Bless his name. He's worthy. He's worthy. He He's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Bless his name. He's worthy.
All the glory.
He's worthy.
God, we give you the power.
He's worthy. Bless his name. He's worthy.